Flight fright. My 90-minute flight was canceled, only for the replacement flight to take 10 hours. A woman was left stunned after her 90-minute flight was canceled, only to rebook one that took 10 hours by a mistake. Has this ever happened to you, man?
No, but I'm just, but I could just see how annoying that is because, well, yeah. First of all, it's like here in LA, it's like, I don't know, it's like we're going to Vegas or something.
Right.
And then now you got to go to
Detroit,
New York, and then to Vegas, where you're like, I could have driven.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was 5 hours. But it is.
Okay, Alexandra Duffin, she's traveling from Sydney to Melbourne with Jetstar. It usually takes 90 minutes to go from Sydney to Melbourne. So she, despite her flight taking off at 9:45, she received an email from the airline at 12 p.m. saying it had been canceled due to operational requirements, which I always love.
They're like,
you better, we've learned that in the pandemic too. If we got to get somewhere for work, we had to fly early in the morning now. There's no,
of course,
there's no chilling with a.
No, that I think with a, well, for flights that we have to get there because of the show, like we need to, for me, like I do it either like, early in the morning or the day before, like a red eye, you know, because it prevents, if there's any delays or if there's anything like that, you know, you're at least, it's better to be there like, just early
because 100%.
It's the worst thing as a performer is to like, let's say you have a show at 7 p.m. or 8 p.m. and you get there at 4, but then it's obviously there's going to be some delay or like, or you have to, there's a line to rent the car, or there's a line to get the Uber and like all that shit like that, man. Like you got to do it
I'm going to Arkansas this weekend. I'm taking the red eye. So I get in at 9 so I can get centered. She had to rebook her flight. She found one at 8:25. I really empathize with this because I have often, so you forget, right? You're in a rush and you forget.
Yeah.
So for those of you following, this is Australia. And now instead of going Sydney to Melbourne.
Which is what? Like you've been in Australia. So what's that compared to US? Like what's Sydney to Melbourne? It's like what?
Oh, it's 90 minutes. It would be like San Francisco. I would say they'd be LA to San Francisco.
No, because that's even. Well, that's like an hour.
Okay. LA to, I don't know, what's up the coast in Northern California or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah.
90 minutes, man. You can still be in like California, Northern California.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's 90 minutes. I mean, it's
a quick flight.
It's misleading to look at the map because you got to remember Australia is huge.
I know. That's what I mean. Yeah.
And so it was Sydney to Melbourne, but instead they sent her Sydney to Darwin,
which is Darwin is where?
Darwin is north. So you're still dealing with north south.
Got it.
But So I don't know, but it's so much bigger than America. I feel like it's like sending somebody to New York or Boston.
to San Francisco.
I think they've got the mileage in here for those, anybody who's following around. But the long flight was because instead of the direct flight from Sydney to Melbourne, 444 miles. So how far away is San Fran?
That I don't know.
She'd be flying to the north of Australia. A whopping 3,898 miles.
Jeez.
More than 240,000 people watched her on TikTok. So she talked about this on TikTok. Now, I think she ended up, somebody made the joke of like, you save on a hotel, which is like, it's such an, I feel like when I see American TV every now and then on American TV with the 24-hour subways and stuff, see somebody sleeping on the subway.
Yeah,
like,
oh,
that's a strategy.
Yeah.
Staying out of the cold and.
No, exactly. Yeah.
Train all night, but not often do people do it with flights.
No. Yeah.
With others had similar horror stories. Somebody commented that the same thing had happened to them. They wanted us to fly to Tasmania then Sydney, and it would have taken 10 hours. It's crazy. I don't even see how that's financially viable for an airline.
Well, that's the thing with airlines that they do that sometimes it's weird where they go like. They, you know, like you see like the slow flights, but I mean, obviously it's whatever works for them. I mean, whatever logistics, it's all logistics in terms of like what's for them to save money. But like, I mean, there's sometimes where you go like, I'm not going to go like the flights is like, go this way then to come back or take two stops. I never do two stops.
No,
I don't do two stops. No,
I'm
not a two stop guy. I mean, if I'm flying in the US, No, I mean, if I would have to do obviously like an international flight where it's like longer, then obviously you have to do two stops.
Yeah, to get to.
But I'm not doing two stops here, man. No, just to save like what, $50.
I mean, sometimes you. Well, what if the savings is bigger? And that's what I'm.
It has to be like, I mean, like if the flight's like $500 and then two stops is $150. then yes.
Yeah.
That's a big chunk. Because
that does happen here in the interior of America, like Milwaukee, St. Louis, Detroit-y kind of stuff. I'm often looking at the costs and I'm like, and it's like big. It's palpable. It's a $600 savings.
Yeah.
If you, and the way I do the math sometimes is I tell myself I'm paying myself $200 an hour to sit in an airport in Milwaukee. But I'll ask you if you've had to do this. I'll finish up this article. I think she's only got a couple lines left. But she actually, so the weird thing is this article, so she ended up not taking the flight in the end, luckily, because she kicked up enough of a fuss on Twitter.
Oh, really?
And she got rebooked onto a 7 p.m. direct flight, because I think this is like the case. We talked about this briefly last week of the airlines catching wind, because 240,000 people started sharing
exactly.
it. And so the airlines went, holy shit, we're sending this person.
And by the way, she actually just didn't do it to complain. She was just saying like, I messed up, but like, help me. So it's like, it actually better, because I feel like that's the best way to do it. Where like, you're like, hey, it was my mistake. You know, I'm having fun with it. But then the airline's like, hey, let me help you, you know.
Yeah, 100%. And the last paragraph of the article is that and I like this, because this is kind of what we talked about last week about getting the attention of the airlines. And last week we dealt with some snarky responses from airlines, which was bad. But this person from this airline, I'm not familiar with Jetstar. It's obviously, I'm going to guess it's like Spirit.
I don't know.
A spokesperson said they offered a number of alternate direct flights to help Alexander, and then they stated, we thank Ms. Duffin for her flexibility, and we were pleased that we were able to assist her to choose a flight at a time that suited her.
Nice.
And I'm like, yeah, you have to say that at the end.
Well,
because
of course.
Nobody wants a round trip 10-hour flight. There's no way that's going to suit you. Unless, what would be a situation? Like maybe a family reunion that you're not looking forward to it? So all of a sudden they're like,
I got late.
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, you might want to sit on the airline, have a couple of vodkas. Let's go, all right, at least I'm going to miss the rehearsal dinner. Thank fuck.
I mean, definitely, like, that's one thing that I always check. I mean, I'm very, like, I guess, detailing when I'm getting flights, and I'm like, because I don't want shit like that to happen, to get to the point to the airport and it's like, oh, now I gotta fly so long you fly a lot, because this is a thing when I, you know, we fly a lot, so it's like for me it's like my first thing is like, what's the most comfortable way to get there that in the normal price, you know what I mean? Where I'm like, I'm not spending.
Well, also because it eats into our profit. We're doing it for work.
But
mostly,
that's what I mean. But that's why for me, like, I need to be comfortable. Like, I'm not going to fly two stops just to save $50 or $100 but then just to even do one show where I'm just getting there and then got to come back the next day.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's too much, you know, like for me, like, it's all as the more comfort I can get to. And so it's like flying, like, so like whenever I see people like do like the two flights or three flights or whatever, just to save some bucks, whatever. Obviously she did it by mistake.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not my thing, you know?
Yeah. And if it adds up to a good savings, I mean, I just did. So of course my parents live in Halifax, Nova Scotia. There's no way to get
there.
There's
no direct flight.
Yeah. There's no direct. So you're looking at a double. You can often look at a double, like, transfer, you know, to get into Canada. You know, you're lucky if you go LA to Toronto, Toronto to Halifax. That would be nice. But
that's not going to happen?
Often, not a lot of times. And before the pandemic, I got some steals. I got, like LA to Boston and then Boston to Nova Scotia. That was great. But I just worked in Kelowna, which is another small Rocky Mountain town in Canada. So I, in Halifax, two small towns, you're looking at a double.
I get that because that's the only
they're
way.
You're bookended by tiny things. But I did, I don't know if you remember this, but was it even last year? Snowstorm in Canada, and I had to go through Mexico to get to LA. And that was a bit surreal.
Yeah,
I went down the coast. Was it
Baja?
Somewhere in Mexico.
Cabo?
It was Cabo, wasn't it? But I didn't know that I'd have to go through customs. I didn't calculate that. I just accepted it because of the snowstorm I couldn't go through like Toronto or
yeah.
And
but you were getting out, so you have.
I had to get out. Yeah, I think I had to be back here for work, didn't I? But otherwise, I'm like, I should have just gone back to my parents' place and gone to bed because I went to Cabo or whatever and I didn't know I'd have to go through customs.
Yeah,
and so it was a
it's
fucking
a different
rush.
Country. Yeah,
yeah, it's,
what do you want the
you can't just,
like?
You can't just transfer.
Like that's. I think that's kind of like. I don't know if that's is that a very like first world country kind of like. Mindset of like, oh, I have to do customs.
Well, no, I think it's a I think it's a bit of a European thing because that happens in Europe.
You don't have to go through customs.
Yeah, sure, you can be in Norway.
Well, but that's
and go
if
through
you're,
Holland because, to get to London.
But that's so different because you belong to the European Union.
Well, we're in. Isn't there a North American?
Nah.
What about North American free trade agreement? Yeah, can't I just transport my Canadian vocal goods through?
Nah, come on.
I just feel that there should have been. Oh yeah, because it was fucked up too. Because like, having to go through that customs, they want to know where I was staying, and I'm trying to explain to them. No, I'm only here for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And she was like, "Where's your hotel?"
Yeah, thinking.
I'm just gonna disappear into Mexico.
But it's weird because sometimes, I mean, sometimes you do what is a transfer though, like a trans. Do they know like there's transfers that you go into like a, you know, like it, you don't go through. You're not leaving the country. You're transferring.
Right. Yeah. That should have been, that's what I'm saying. That should have been an option, but it wasn't.
Oh, got it.
And I don't know if that had something to do with this.
Maybe because of the flight or something.
Or because it's such a holiday.
I don't know. Because usually, there's transfers where you don't have to, because you're not getting out of the airport. That's the thing.
Yeah.
If you're not getting out of the airport, you don't have to go through customs.
Yeah.
You know, it's only when you're entering the country that you're gonna stay.
That's what I thought too. But they wouldn't let me. They made me go through customs and then. But I did end up sitting outside in the sunshine having some.
So you did leave the airport.
I had to. You had to.
Oh, you had to actually leave the airport and then go. I think that's just like a one-off thing. Doesn't happen.
The departure lounges, they're right next door to each other, and there's a little cantina in the middle if anybody's been to this part of Mexico. So, yeah, you go through customs, you come out. I had a beer and some nachos, and then I went back into departures and queued up again. So they're two separate buildings next to each other that you had to you had to do. Now, to go back to the double transfer thing. Yeah, I completely, especially when it comes out of my money, when I'm looking at flights, I would rather take, if it's a good difference, like you're saying, if it's $50, just get me to the place.
Yeah.
You know, but if it's a huge savings, I do. I literally sit in an airport lounge going, I'm paying myself. I try to think of it that way.
I mean, for me, it has to be like a big-ass difference for me to do it. Because for me, like, I just prefer just to be quicker to the place and coming back. I mean, I don't like staying in an airport. Right. I don't like, so it's like, it's got to be literally like, almost like, you know, 70% savings or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, almost very cheap. Or I'm like, all right, this makes.
Yeah.
But like, when it's like, even like, I don't know, I just... It doesn't usually happen because I never see the flights.
Yeah.
I mean, like a lot of the times I never see like a huge difference, you know. And I'm always looking at the same airlines anyways.
Right.
I don't go venture in other airlines.
Yeah.
So I'm not going into like, you know, like you Google. I'm just doing the same American or Southwest. You know?
Right. Yeah. I just go for the cheapest airline.
Yeah. No,
and at a certain point, sometimes I go. Sometimes you just, when it becomes a hassle, sometimes I do just go, I'm just doing this for recreational fun tonight. This is not going to be a money spinner, this one, because that happens in Middle America a lot. It's tough to get to. Milwaukee really sticks out to me. I think it's very tough.
Well, actually, that's actually easier to get to. I think it just depends on the, it's just... it's just the big cities, you know, like big airports that have big hubs, that's the thing. It's like, because there's little airports everywhere, you know, around the U.S., but like to get to those, it's like, you got to do the three stops. And sometimes I prefer just to get to the big airport and rent a car and drive, whatever it is.
Right.
Then go to the...
That's often a good choice.
Yeah, because, I mean... Also depends on the weather. If it's like during the winter and it's snowing, then I'm like, fuck it, I don't want to drive, whatever. But sometimes you have to because it's like it's the only way to get there, or it's just more cheaper just to even get a car than to fly to the next little airport. You know, so it's like, I mean, it's just you get to start, when you start doing it, you get to just do all this like little like tricks that you start learning more and more about I don't know, travel. Like, that's why it gets frustrating when you're like waiting for like, when people like, it's the first, and sometimes you have to remember, like sometimes it's the first time people maybe are traveling, and when you go like when they're looking at the, you know, the seats, and I'm like, yeah, come on, move it.
People who are having fun going through like customs or security, and I, isn't this exciting?
Yeah.
Like, I had a guy who kept forgetting shit recently at security, and he was just having a great time. And I'm like, I'm tired.
Yeah, of course.
I think I was flying Vancouver to LA last week, and I'm like, oh my god, dude,
just heard.
Put
the
all
fuck
the
up.
Metal
yeah.
in the bin.
Yes.
Stop. What the fuck is wrong with you?
I know.
And he's like, trying to converse with security and stuff. And I'm like, oh God, somebody hasn't been out of the house in 2 years.
Exactly. That's where you go, like, those. I think there should be two different types of TSA securities, you know? There's always a TSA pre, whatever, right. You know, but like, there should be another one, like TSA pre for or people that have traveled all the time.
Yeah.
And then for ones, it's like, this is your first time traveling, or you're going on vacation and you don't give a shit about time or whatever. Go to this one.
Maybe,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Disney.
Maybe that person that's you know, the first person that gets there before you go through the barriers.
Yeah.
And you gotta, maybe that person should do a little attitude check. Like, is this person annoying, or is this person going to be efficient?
As
you're walking up and they go, passport and ticket, oh, thank you. And then when they walk by, go, this guy's fucking annoying. Put all the annoying people in lane one.
They what?
Then put a stamp on your forehead as you go down the
funny.
Line.
Yeah,
they just mark you secretly. So TSA, this fucker's going to take a while.
Well, I guess it would be cool to actually get a TSA person here to interview them. I wonder if they just, like, when they do random screenings or whatever, is it just because, like, this person's an asshole, let me just...
Oh yeah,
fuck their day.
Or are they
bit.
Watching behind double tinted glass, a double tinted mirror?
Nah, I don't think they're that advanced. No. I'm just saying, like, if there's somebody that's annoying, like as a TSA person, is like, oh, okay, you're being an asshole. Well, now I'm gonna have to pat you down and like do all this stuff that maybe they don't need to, just to, you know, be annoying with that person. I mean, I could see that somebody doing that. I could do it. I was like, sorry, you're gonna have to wait, Anna.
Do you still get that little annoying feeling when the TSA over-explains something to you? Like when you're there putting your shit in the bin,
in the bucket, you're
putting it in, and they come up going, all of your metal, please, sir.
Yeah.
Did you get everything out of your pocket? And you feel like, well, this is my fourth flight this week.
But
fucking leave me alone.
and that's what I mean. It's like, it should be somebody that's like, hey, I travel all the time. I know. You don't have to give me directions. I know. I know what to do.
But by the time, but if you ever said that immediately, they'd be like, please step aside.
Oh, no, of course. That's what I mean. They're going to like, oh, you're being annoying. They're going to have to get you, you know.
You just have to take it.
I do think, it does happen to me. That's another thing, too, with like TSA. Like, it just shows you, like, when you go to a smaller airport, you know, like small, like, those are the ones that really take it seriously. Like, they think they're fucking Jason Bourne, you know, like, they're like, all right, everybody, we're gonna, you know, it's kind of like, all right, man, we're in the middle of nowhere, relax, man, nobody's coming here to attack this little town.
Yeah.
But these people, like, because I feel like, you know.
They get your toothpaste, like, we got him,
we got him,
he's 5 milliliters over, we got his toothpaste, everybody.
To me, I was like, why, I mean, because obviously, like, if you go to a big city like New York or LA, like, there's so many traffic. People are not. They're like, this is just like go. But those people, like, those are the ones that are annoying ones. Where they're like, all right, we're gonna have to patch you down. And it's like, there's nobody in this airport, man. It's like, what? Like, there's two gates here, man.
Yeah.
Like, I was just gonna say too. Like, you, you mentioned the whole like, has that happened to you where people have actually patted you down and like, you know, grab you stuff and take? Have you gotten stuff taken out? Like. Confiscated.
Oh, I lose shit. I did recently lose my toothpaste.
Because of then?
Yeah, and
but why do you take it out? Because I don't take shit out. I don't put those little bags. I don't do that.
Yeah.
I just go and whatever, you know. Like,
see, that's happened recently too. Yeah, I've got a separate shaving kit.
Oh, I don't do
and
that.
And I just throw that. I pull out my iPad and my shaving kit.
Oh, that's the thing, because you're doing TSA pre. That's why.
Oh, because yeah,
I'm better than you. That's sorry. You're still there.
Yet you've still been to the same houses. No, I'm not allowed.
No, because I don't do the peasant version of going to.
Well, I'm not allowed to do TSA pre because I'm on a work visa.
Oh, really? So, is that what?
Yeah, if you're on a, if you're not American,
I didn't know that.
You're American. I'm not.
Oh, okay, sorry. I didn't.
Even
know
though
that.
We're both. Yeah. Not proudly not American, yeah. But
what are you talking about? I'm American.
Yes, of course you're American.
Yeah, you are. I'm sure you're. But
that's the great thing about this podcast. The guy with the heavy accent is more American than me.
wait. Do you want me to show you my passport? Like, what do you think I'm not
no,
American?
No. Well, no, because we proudly talk about how we're immigrants.
Yes, so, but I'm American.
But yes, I understand. I stand corrected.
Because at least
you're
Sam
incredibly
Noel
American.
Free.
You're one of the most American Americans I've actually met. So,
and I'm proud to be an American, even though I'm not from here.
But yes, but I will say, yeah, the small airports, Ireland. I was traveling around Britain and Europe by air on my European tour.
Yeah.
And in Ireland, they confiscated some liquids off of me, and I literally I put
like
up a fight
liquids?
For about hair gel, toothpaste, Febreze, you know, comic tools.
Yeah.
So he busted me, and I was like, dude, I've been traveling with this for. Like,
by the way, were they like the standard thing, the number, whatever, you
yeah,
know, three so, ounces, whatever?
So they were, the bottles were oversized or the toothpaste was oversized, but the quantity was.
Oh, but that doesn't matter.
It was the dregs of all my stuff.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter to everybody else, but this guy in Ireland, he was like, nope, done, confiscated everything. Which I just want to say, hotels should have toothpaste.
They do.
No, they do at the front desk or whatever if you request it.
Oh, you mean like
sometimes in the
yeah,
you get shampoo, conditioning, body wash, soap, shower caps, sewing kits.
Yeah, Who's sewing?
Yeah, who shows up and needs to sew a hole more than they need to brush their fucking teeth?
Yeah. It's just, like, hey, oh man, I lost a button. Let me just go quickly.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? It's like nobody does that.
My
like,
lovely dress sense will make up for my horrible breath.
That's true. That is true. That's a great point. They don't have. Yeah, you have to go to the front desk.
Ask, and that's even if they do have it.
That's true. Yeah.
Then often they're like, you know, you got to go find whatever.
Yeah.
Convenience store. And
stuff.
Whereas, like, I'm like, how is their first step? Shampoo, conditioner, body wash,
body lotion,
all this shit.
Yeah.
When what we really need, or even just some gum, something.
Sometimes they even have the what is it called? The mint thing, the Listerine thing. They even have that.
Do they? Sometimes, a little thing
of mouthwash,
right,
and they have that, but they don't have toothpaste.
Yeah,
like what the fuck? Yeah,
that's a little bit.
Is true. They should. Have, I mean,
hotel that does that gets all of our business.
Yes. That's true. It's like you get a nice little toothpaste there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's if you don't want to use it, you don't use it. If you have your own use, but it's there.
Yeah.
You know? Amount
of times I don't need fucking body wash.
Oh yeah, there's times. I mean, and I don't like when they give you just like the 2-in-1 shampoo conditioner.
I'm
at this point, I'm just not washing my hair. Like, what is this? It's like you're giving me just crap.
Yeah, I don't like that stuff either. I feel like that stuff gives you dandruff. I judge by the bottle. I'm not touching this stuff.
But that should be definitely a thing. I mean, for sure, like in hotel rooms, just to give that, just to make it even.
So I wanted to do a follow up question with you about. So we talk about this lady, and you know, she didn't look at the fine print until after she booked it, which is understood. It happens. In Britain, it happens on trains and stuff. Sometimes in Britain, there's replacement buses for train lines. And I learned that lesson quick, but sometimes you forget to check because you just think you're booking a train and you have to look at the fine print it'll say, ooh, bus from Doncaster to Bristol.
Oh, you thought it was going to be trains and then all of a sudden you have a bus.
So often, this is such a British thing. I think it might be a European thing overall, but it's very British thing of like, I've got a train ticket. And they're like, no, get on the bus.
Oh, that's
dude.
Annoying.
So you have to keep your eyes out for that. But that's what I was going to ask you. Can you think of other things? Because I do have, two... examples of other things that you forget sometimes to think about when you're either grabbing your ticket maybe in a rush or going through security.
That I forget to look at the kit or
yeah,
to
follow
to
up. I mean, you're like you said about 20 minutes ago, you're pretty thorough.
Yeah,
you're pretty concise.
Yes.
But I can think of two fuck-ups that I make sometimes.
You do it because I don't do fuck-ups.
Well, one is... Right, okay, very...
I'm sorry.
I'm so American. I don't do fuck-ups.
Because I'm proud to be an American.
Yeah.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America for the how does it go?
I'm never going to be American.
I don't remember.
How does it go? That was fantastic.
No. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America for the country which stands under God, one nation, invisible.
Indivisible.
Indivisible. And unity for all? I don't know.
It's pretty close.
I don't know. That's pretty close, right?
Wow. Wow. Somebody's getting deported. It's probably me, actually, if...
Deportation is watching
I think there's
these.
Pounding on the door upstairs, by the way.
Let him deal
we
with it.
We might have a guest showing up soon.
Oh,
here's my two things,
guess?
Dude. My two things are sometimes I forget to book the seat. Sometimes I book a flight, and because I know 2 weeks out, I try to make sure I'm 2 weeks out. I feel like the prices go up after the 2 week margin, and they shoot up. So sometimes it'll be 2 weeks out. And I'll go, okay, 14 days. I better get this done. And I'm busy or I'm going somewhere. So I'll book the flight and I'll think, I'll look at the seats later. And I forget. So that can suck when I forget to go back and check that.
Yeah.
Because that's when you end up like wedged.
Yeah.
I end up checking into a flight going, but I bought this flight like 3 weeks ago. And I'm like, oh,
but
yeah. I forgot to.
So let that.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is like. Luck again.
Yeah, again, you're a privileged American.
No, it's not privileged American. I'm just a privileged smart person that travels a lot, so knows what to do with it. No,
I can't wait for something to go wrong in your travels.
A lot of things go wrong.
See, it does happen.
A lot of things go wrong, but I'm just saying because I fly usually with the same airline.
Right. Okay.
You know, when I buy the tickets, I don't have to, like, I can switch seats until the day of the flight.
Oh, right.
I'm not paying for, not doing your, like, paying for baggage, paying for extra, everything's included.
I don't pay, everything's included as well, but I just don't do the loyalty programs.
Yeah, you're saying when you select the seats, it's higher, right? Is that what you're saying?
No, it's not more expensive. Sometimes I just forget to do the seats. I'll book the flights, and I'll think I'll go back to grab the seats. They're not necessarily at a cost or anything. Often seats are free.
Yeah. No, you know, I mean, most of the times you have to pay.
Oh.
Like, that's pretty every
maybe
airline.
Maybe in your loyalty program.
No, I don't. But every other airline, if you're not, like, have a status, you have to pay extra if you want to get, like, good seats. Like,
yeah, if you want good ones.
Yeah.
Right, Comfort Plus and all that.
Yeah,
I don't do any of that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, I take the free seats or whatever. I'll get the window or aisle.
Yeah.
I like the window the most.
Yeah.
So, but occasionally I forget to do that,
and
that's when you'll get wedged in the middle.
Of course, yeah, but I don't do that because I always have the.
So, who's the airline that you're got your loyalty program with?
American Airlines.
So you're always with American.
I'm always pretty much fly all the time with American, unless it's like, you know, like short flights, like around here is Southwest because Southwest has good like to go to Vegas or San Francisco.
So, because I say American are usually of the three major airlines, American's usually about in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually United is the cheapest, then American, then Delta.
Yeah.
I find. So does that mean you're willing to spend a little bit more on the American one?
Yes. I don't even look at the other ones.
Right. Okay.
I mean, unless it's like a crazy amount, you know, where it's like, it's not like, okay, this is not normal. Sometimes I just do just to compare a little bit. But I don't even go into the other ones because I know they're pretty much all the same. You know, like, there's no... Unless you're looking into, like, Spirit or the whatever, Frontier whatever.
Well, I don't do budget airlines, but I always check on Expedia.
Yeah.
I go to Expedia
first. But my thing is, like,
I see what's cheap.
Yeah.
And then I go to their thing. And so I don't have a loyalty program, but I reckon I spend a lot less money than you.
No, I mean, you should. So. I mean, but I'm getting better service. I mean, I'm like,
are you?
Yeah,
you're still wedged on a tube in the air.
You're like in the back. You're like in the middle. You're not getting. I get bumped up to first class pretty much often. You know, because of that, I get the free services, free drinks, free all that stuff. You know, like all that stuff that I don't have to pay. I get in the free bags. I get in the quicker things. When I get in the airport, I go to the priority line. I have to do a lane, so I can just do the changes are quick. You know, if there's a cancellation or something, I can change to a good flight right away, quick. I don't have to wait.
See, I get that too, but maybe it's just because I'm charming.
Nah.
It is. I honestly have no problems, and also, we've covered this before. I don't see the bonus in.
I mean, for me, I do. I do see the difference because I've been in the other side when I have to fly other airlines that I'm not.
Yeah,
that they bought it for me or somebody, you know, like
right,
like, and I have to fly, you know, another airline, and they don't have that thing that I'm used to with, like having the it just shows you that it's like, oh, this is just very annoying. Like it's just like not knowing that I can get into the thing faster, get into the thing changes quickly. You know, they're all like, right. I like everything as quickly as possible, where I can just don't have to like. I'm ready to go. I don't have to like wait or whatever. So like,
I mean, I appreciate that. I just don't. I've never seen the value in it. I like,
and that's fine.
But it's like I said, I always feel different. I'm paying myself for the time that it takes sometimes. Like the extra, like I said, if I take a double flight to save $200, so I have to sit in Detroit for an hour, I'm like, I just paid myself $200.
That's, yeah,
that's my working class non-American attitude.
No, I mean, for me, it's more about opportunity, time, cost. You know, like for me, it's like, I got to get to the place fast. The faster I can get to, the better for me. I can have my time work better. Like, not just be stranded in some airline just to, you know.
Like, because I'm taking the red eye to get to Arkansas this weekend. I'm taking the red eye. The price difference was crazy. I mean, you could get up at 6 a.m. to get to Arkansas for like 2 p.m. or whatever.
At 2 p.m.
Yeah, but it was really,
how much was it?
It was huge. I would say the difference was probably $600 or $700.
The difference from what?
To go on the red eye instead.
Okay.
You know, it was probably.
So it was $700 of a difference?
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
if you
it was
left,
crazy.
If you did the red eye instead of the 6 a.m.
Yeah, so I'm doing like the red eye for like, I don't know, I'm going to say $250.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas day of.
Would have been like
$900.
Oh, yeah, no, so, of course.
So I was like,
also, it's better
but
because
also
you get
this
in
red
there
eye,
early.
Yeah, I get in at 9 a.m., but also the red eye does. I am sitting somewhere at 6 a.m. There is a transfer at 6 a.m.
Well, that makes sense.
But I've told myself that, just one transfer. It's a one stop.
Yeah.
And it's breakfast.
Yeah.
And this is the thing I tell myself too when I have to do these extra stops to save money. I also say because I'm tall, I like to get out and stretch. I like to have that time, an hour in between being cramped in these seats for me. I think of it as an advantage. And that's the way I approach this red eye where I'll be sitting in Atlanta or something at 6 a.m. I'm like, I'll have breakfast and I'll treat myself to a breakfast with the money I'm saving and then get on to the destination. So I guess it depends on how you look at it. But I'll tell you the biggest mistake that I've made, which wasn't on a booking, but it always happens if you're going to Canada, but it will happen other places too. But you'll get your duty free confiscated if you forget to transfer your duty free from your baggage or whatever, because you know you carry duty free on.
Yeah, but it's already staple or something.
It's all sealed.
Yeah,
they confiscate it in
Why?
Canada. Because they're assholes.
I thought Canadians were nice people.
They're dicks in airports. They're dicks in airports.
Really? There's no nice...
The people can be nice. I almost missed a flight when I told you about that double exchange. Yeah. I was in the lineup and there was a staff member there and I literally, looking at the queue, I could tell this queue is going to take 40 minutes and I'm boarding in 20, which is just tight.
Yes.
Because boarding can take 20 minutes.
Of course.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I asked this staff member while everybody's in the queue and I just went, hey, listen, my flight's boarding in 20 minutes. Is there any way I can expedite this? And she was like, nope. it's first come, first serve. And I'm like, oh my God. But luckily, everybody listening got so Canadian and they all went, go, just go, go.
Like, oh,
thanks. I'm sorry that it fucked up. And so in that sense, they were Canadian.
Yeah.
But the people that were working. Yeah,
the people
working were assholes.
Dicks. Wow.
and the people in the lab were nice. But that's not always the case.
I wonder why that is. Like, why is it like people that work in airports? I mean, is it because you deal with a lot of annoying people? You know what I mean? Like, you get to a point where you're like, you just start hating people every day. You're like, because, I mean, it is a, I mean, every job is kind of like pretty much like, what's it called? That movie with Bill Murray that happens everything all the time.
Groundhog Day.
It's kind of like Groundhog Day. Yeah. Like, I mean, like, if you're the TSA, if you're the person, it's pretty much the same thing. People asking you the same questions, like, can I pack, you know? And you got to say, does he have any batteries and any, all this stuff? Take out your things. Take off your shoes. You did it. You repeat it all the time. At one point, you're going to be like, I hate people, right? Like,
their empathy just strips away. It's going to be like,
you start seeing just fucking... And then you start seeing, like, look at this asshole just taking, you know, like, right away. So I'm assuming that's why they become dicks.
But
right?
You have been, I think so, too. I think you're right. I think they bring their outside annoyances into work with them sometimes. And because you have been in situations, I think we both have been in situations where they're more organized, where even when the queue gets insane, right, you're looking at an hour and a half queue with all these multiple flights, and then somebody from the airline will come out and go, is anybody flying on the 9:30 p.m. to whatever, you know? And then people can, all right, come with me, and they can help in that way. But then in other airports, you're like, this is a situation where somebody, one of the staff members, could take control, and they're not. They're like, fuck yeah. If you miss your flight, you miss your flight. You're screwed. You know, that happened at Austin to me recently, but luckily, like, they just gave up on all of us. They were canceling flights because of staff shortages, and then they offered hotels to everybody, and then the lineup to get your free hotel was, like, 2 hours long.
Yeah.
No matter what kind of privileges you had.
That's the annoying part.
And I ended up just staying with a friend.
Yeah. That's the thing, annoying part, just getting all this cancellation. I have a quick question I want to ask you. Like, if you're on a flight and you have to choose between sitting... between another person, who you choose between Elon Musk or Kanye West or Ye West?
Oh,
his name is, I don't know. Is it Ye? Ye?
Ye.
Is it Ye?
It's Ye.
Whatever.
I think I would. You must have an answer to this for yourself, but I would choose.
No. I just thought about it right now.
I would
now,
choose so Elon, like, Musk. I think Kanye is incredibly annoying. And I've always thought Kanye was annoying, even now when people are
you,
like,
thought even when he was like, when he wasn't saying all this crazy shit.
Yeah, I've been boycotting Kanye West products for my whole life.
Really?
So
I'm
ahead of
his music and stuff.
I don't listen to it. I couldn't tell
like,
you.
Like, even the, I mean, like, I listened to his stuff when, like, the news, when the, he first came out, you know, like Graduation and all that stuff, and like those were, I mean, I liked those songs, you know. Later then, as he kept getting bigger and I actually started like, nah, I don't like this song, so whatever. So like,
yeah, I don't own any of his shoes or music.
Well, shoes, I don't never own them. I mean,
and I always thought those Yeezys were ugly. I thought they were ugly ass shoes. I don't know how he pulls it off, but
he can't pull it off anymore.
Yeah. Do you think this is a permanent, this is done? You don't think he can come and apologize? And,
no. He went to Skechers, right?
What do you mean he went to Skechers?
He went into the headquarters of Skechers, you know, that shoe company?
Yeah.
To try to be like, hey, you want my shoes?
Try to get them to take him?
Yeah, and then Skechers Skech the fuck out of here. You know?
Really?
Don't make fun of the Jews.
Yeah, you know.
Holy cow.
Yeah,
you know, he's getting, even Skechers gets to say they declined Kanye. Here I am bragging that I've declined him my whole existence. I've never once bought into this fucker. But
what, you always thought that he was an anti-Semite?
I did not think he was anti-Semite. I just always thought he was a giant douchebag.
Oh, okay.
So anti-Semites also giant douchebags.
There's
a correlation.
When you start thinking you're better than everybody else, that's when the biggest problem comes through. When you start thinking I'm a genius. I think it's like, if you're a genius, you don't call yourself a genius. You know what
exactly.
I mean? Like, that's everybody else does, and you don't have to there because if you're a genius, you're above everybody else. You don't need to.
You shouldn't have to tell people,
And you don't even have to because you're, it's like, to me, when you're a genius, it's kind of like the, your whole life, you're dealing with like kindergartens, your whole life.
Right, yeah.
Imagine dealing with, like, imagine telling a four-year-old kid, I'm a genius. And he's like, I pee my pants. I'm a genius. I pee my pants, but I'm a genius. You're going to tell me? And the kid's like, what the fuck? You know, I was like, that's what, if you're really like in an above mental thing, that's what it is. So it's like, you don't need to say it.
So how did you feel about his music before he did all this shit?
No, I said I did. Obviously.
You like Graduation.
Yes, and he's talented. Obviously, he's talented. And I even saw the documentary about when how he started and all that stuff that he's like, I want to be good. And it just shows you the drive that we go through as comics and stuff like that. You know, but what I mean, like everything happens is like, I think fame, you know, either shows the true reality of the person. Maybe all his life, you know, it wasn't... You know, obviously, because he wasn't big enough to showcase his true personality. But now that he has the power or the money to do it, then it's like, here it is. And that's and now, I definitely don't like that. And then again, his music later on, I definitely weren't like, eh. You know, I wasn't even liking it.
Yeah.
You know?
So do you feel the same way? Then you'd rather be sat next to Elon Musk?
Oh, yeah.
At least there's something.
At least.
If he wants to talk.
Yeah. Oh, he'll talk.
Just...
I mean,
TSA warned me about this guy. He just walked away.
I mean, I guess I'll be like, I'll definitely be like, you know, what would you ask him? Like, hey, what'd you bought Twitter? Like, what's your end goal here? Like, what do you do after this? Because I mean, that's the thing.
I don't think I could grill him or interview him. I'd have to say something.
Okay, so I'm Elon Musk. How did you get me? Like, I'm just here. I'm Elon Musk right now. And I'm looking at my Twitter that I just bought. And then you're sitting and you sit next to me. What do you say?
I would just say we're obviously in first class.
Yes. And you obviously got bumped up.
Yes. I obviously got bumped up because I'm charming.
Cowboys, Elon.
So in all my charm, I would ask him, I wouldn't actually talk about shit like that. I would probably go, what is a billionaire gonna eat on a flight like this? What does a billionaire order for food? Or what does a billionaire drink? Surely they don't have alcohol your caliber on here. I'll be on the vodka. That's my general.
Please don't talk to me anymore. Right? Wow.
Exactly. Then I'm on the...
All right. Thank you.
I shot my shot with Elon Musk. Turns out.
By the way, what he would say, he'd be like, how the hell did you get into my private jet? Because I fly private. Like, why are you here? Get out.
What I really want to have happen is for him to just pull out a bottle of nice alcohol or something. We'll enjoy this fun.
What would you think that you would pitch to him to be like, hey, you know, like your opportunity to pitch him an idea? You know, because for him, even like $10 million is like nothing. So it's like for
I'd go, can you help me get better sound on my comedy reels? can you help me figure out how to work a lapel mic? That's all I need at this point, Elon. I don't need one of your fucking cars. I just want to figure out how to get better sound on comedy reels.
All right. I think we're almost done because we have the other guest.
Yeah, man.
But I do. Well, I think next time we're going to have Elon Musk then in the podcast. Elon,
excellent.
Come by to talk about what's your...
Tune in.
We want to learn about what you want to do with the world.
Yeah.
You know.
We'll have somebody from the TSA as well.
Right. Actually, I think we have a better chance to get Kanye now.
That's true.
To get him on the podcast. But remember, everybody, to subscribe, to let us subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Instagram, on TikTok, on Twitter, and also like if you have stories like this, like because I think it's cool to just kind of like we just want to share these stories that happens in terms of traveling, and then you know because we love to hear opinions, you know, like what would you do, you know, in certain situations, or has this happened to you?
That's the other thing I was going to tell you. When I had about $180 worth of alcohol confiscated off me when I was going through Toronto, even though it was sealed in the duty free and everything, and they were like, you had to take this out and put this in your suitcase. So aside from the toothpaste and all that other shit that you get confiscated, What have you had confiscated off you
that you're really pissed about?
That pisses you off royally. Yeah, see if you can beat my $180 worth of alcohol.
That's fucked up.
It was so annoying, man.
We can talk
really
more about
nice,
that. And I can tell you about how I get in. Next time, we also want to talk about how I got in through TSA, through flying, without my ID.
Ah.
And I flew with no ID, everybody. And I'll give you the tips on how to do it.
Strip search?
No ID.
I thought that's what happens. They need some deep DNA.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah. They went deep. All right. Remember to keep subscribing, follow us, and we'll talk to you later. Bye, aloha.